This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Tilawa means to read, to internalize it in our hearts, and to implement and act upon it. Okay? It's not just reading. So, we need to have a working relationship with the Qur'an. We have to ask ourselves, what is my relationship with the Qur'an? Because it should be transformational. It should make me into a true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, what Allah created me for. Now, some have said that if your reading, your tilawa of the Qur'an does not stop you from what Allah has not liked for you, then you are really not doing tilawa of the Qur'an. Okay. So, remember when we do tilawa of the Qur'an, we are talking about the words of Allah, we are reflecting on the words of Allah, and when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said in the beginning, Allah remembers you. And the people of the Qur'an, Allah, in some of the narrations, have been called like, Allah has no family, but ahl, like a family of Allah, because they are so close to Him. And there are many, many fadail of reading, reflecting on the Qur'an. And all of you know, from the simplest, easiest one, that every alphabet that you read has 10 hasanat, which is just the rewards. And I don't say that alif, lam, mim is one. Alif is one, lam is one, and mim is one. Like things like, there are many that the Qur'an has a lot of blessings. Ultimate goal is hidayah, of guidance. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma has said that someone who is regular in their Quran will be saved from the state that Allah has talked about, people in old age when they forget everything, Alzheimer's disease. And this has been tested. So all those who are trying to prevent Alzheimer's disease with extra sleep and exercise and all of those, regular recitation of the Quran, memorizing the Quran, has special things that are going on. So please do that. And as we know, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called it a shifa. It's a cure, a healing from many diseases, especially the spiritual ones. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about multahada, the refuge is with Allah alone. And as we said earlier, Quran is the source of refuge for all calamities, whether they are of the dunya or whether in your matters of deen. And therefore, whenever you are faced with a calamity, what should you rush to? Open the Quran, and you will find relief in every hardship. Seeking protection in His words is the same as rushing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. Because the Quran is not His creation. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He manifests Himself through His words. Okay? And then when we rush to the Quran and we open the Quran, depending on the states of our hearts, the degree of clarity, you know, the safa or the murkiness, which is called kudura, or, you know, how cloudy our hearts are, we will find answers according to that from the Quran. So if you have a great deal of clarity in your heart, of iman and obedience and all of that, which has cleansed your heart with tazkiyah, you will find clear answers and solutions for problems of this life and unfolding of many of the realities. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهًا وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُتَعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُوطًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدِينَ وَجْهًا. A command from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you force yourself to be in the company of those who call on Allah, on their Lord, morning and evening. which means constantly. For what purpose? Yuriduna wajha. With the goal of seeking the wajh, the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we talk about the wajh of Allah, means seeking only Allah. It's not saying seeking His rahmah, seeking His guidance. Because when you seek Allah, all of that comes with that. His rahmah comes with that. His guidance comes with that. His protection comes with all of that. So they are there seeking Allah. Should we seek Jannah? Yes. Should we seek protection from Nar? Yes. But who is in charge of all of that? Allah. So we seek the source. All of that comes as part of that. Okay? So these are people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. And this ayah, according to some of the Mufassirun was revealed on a special thing that the Quraysh, the leaders of the Quraysh, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, we are willing to sit with you and we are willing to talk to you and all of that. But it's against our, you know, nobility to sit with this riffraff that you've gathered around. This slave Bilal, this slave Khabbab, this Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, this Salman, this so-and-so, Abu Sa'id. These are low-class people. They are poor people. We can't sit with them. You get rid of them and we will give you our audience. So they make this proposal to Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَلَّذِ. Be with these people, these poor people. Why? Because Allah has enriched them and elevated them through their faith. These are the people, the earliest Muslims, and they're saying, get rid of them. Who embraced Islam? Other than one or two rich people like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Uthman, all of these people were poor. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is elevating them through this. And again, what is importance? Sohbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being advised, be a sahib to them. Be in the sohbah of these people because of their faith. And it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, in our deen, sohbatul fuqara is considered a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be with the poor people. Now we have to look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ said that there will be people who are, you know, look like beggars, their hair is disheveled, and they come and knock on the door and people will turn them away. But should they raise their hands and aqsim billah, Allah will grant whatever they want. There are people like that. The Prophet ﷺ told us that the poor, and poor is poverty is not a virtue in itself, but these fuqara are people who have nobility, who have faith, who have all of that, yet they are poor. That they will enter paradise 500 years before the wealthy. Because they have less hisab to give, less temptations to go astray with all the wealth that is given to them. Yuriduna wajha. Yuriduna, irada. Murid. I am a murid, seeker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So what is the character? Who wants to be a murid of Allah, to be seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So there are certain characteristics of a true murid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which our scholars have enumerated. Not in any particular order, to become a beloved of Allah by a lot of nawafil. Remember the hadith that no servant of mine comes closer to me than what I have made fard for him? And then he keeps coming closer to me with nawafil till I love him. So, one who is seeking Allah will do a lot of nawafil till he becomes the beloved of Allah. Number two, to be pure, khalis, in giving nasiha to the ummah, to people who need it. Nasiha, advice. Nasiha has to come from concern for somebody. That should be the fact. I am concerned about you. I am concerned about you. Therefore, based on my concern, I give you advice. I'm not giving you advice because there is something in it for me. I'm looking for my advantage. Okay, that is khulus in giving nasiha. If we have genuine concern for somebody, the advice that we will give them is going to be the best of advice. Uns, which is intimate solace, comfort in khalwa by yourself, because you are finding that pleasure, that internal peace in khalwa, because there's no one there and you can think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr in dealing with the ahkam, that you are persevering and steadfast in the commands of Allah, ahkam, hukum. Okay? Now ahkam, the hukum, are hukum, what is called hukum taklifi, which Allah has made you responsible for. Like, you know, you do this, don't do that. And there are ahkam, which are takweeni, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you away certain things that happen. That under all of those circumstances, you have perseverance and sabr. Yeah. And that you give preference to Allah's commands and not to what you want or what you like. That a person who is a true murid of Allah, seeking Allah, has haya in front of Allah. Haya, that modesty, that shyness, that Allah is watching me, I need to do things in a certain way. At all times, in all places, whether we are alone or in company. And to spend all of one's efforts in pleasing the beloved, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then opening oneself to avail of every opportunity, every path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, some of us may have one area that we have expertise in. Somebody is very generous, okay? You hold on to that. But just don't hold on to that. Somebody finds it very easy to fast, fasting all the time. Somebody finds it a lot of Quran, all of that. So, all of that, but person should look for every sunnah. Because every sunnah leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you look for every road that leads to Allah. Let me fulfill my goal. I perform every sunnah at least once in my life. And then whatever is Allah has made easy for me, I continue with that. And then an important one, it's called Al-Qanat Bil-Khumul. Being content with being an unknown. Not looking for name and fame. We should not be servants of fame. How many likes do I have? How many followers do I have? What hashtag? We should worry about the celestial hashtag. How many likes did Allah give me? And have a heart that does not find comfort and remains agitated till it reaches its Lord. In other words, never resting with what I have done. Till you reach your Lord. That's a true worry. Who has reached his destination, and that destination remains always in front of you. Sulaiman alayhi salam, they're talking about the poor people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. Sulaiman alayhi salam, you know, was a prophet and a king, Nabi and a Malik. So when he used to come out, all the wealthy people said, come sit with us, come sit with us, come sit with us. He used to go past all of them and he used to go and sit as a king. He used to sit with the poorest of people and said that I am a miskeen among the masakeen. Okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offered. Jibreel alayhi salam came. Allah wants to know, you want to be Nabi al-Malik or Nabi al-Abd? You want to be a Nabi who is a king or a Nabi who is a slave? What did he choose? He said, I am a slave. I eat like a slave. I sit like a slave. So being poor is an attitude. There's no praise, nothing praiseworthy about being poor, but it's being humble. So these are people who call on their Lord. When they say call on their Lord morning and evening, what is that meaning of call? Dua, good deeds, devotional means, supplication, devotion, submission, all of those are means of calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. desiring only Him, desiring only Him, seeing Him in everything, which comes from love, from muhabba. Ultimately, muhabba, love, takes precedence over fear and everything else. So some of you who are older, there used to be a song. The song was, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Anybody remember that? What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. Because you will be with the one you love. There is one narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a dua, which says, "Ya Allah, let me live like the poor, like the miskeen. Let me die like the poor. Wahshurni fi zumratil masaki. And raise me, gather me in the company of the masaki." He did not say, "Gather the masakeen in my company," because he is the ultimate companionship. But look at that poverty. He's honoring them by saying, "Oh Allah, they are honored. Gather me with them." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this, then he confirms that by saying, "Wala ta'adu aynaka anhum turidu zinat al-hayat al-dunya," and don't let your two eyes go beyond these poor people who are in dhikr of Allah to the ones who have a lot of the dunya, zinat al-hayat al-dunya. Don't look beyond them at the rich and the powerful, seeking or being impressed by them. What is our state? We always look up to the rich and the wealthy and the powerful, and we take them as a model of success. Just remember, Allah gives dunya to the believers and to the disbelievers, sometimes more to the disbelievers. Allah gives to the righteous and to the evil, many times more to the evil. And Allah gives to the one who He loves, and He also gives it to the one He does not love. So giving of the dunya is not a sign, a delusion that Allah is pleased with me, He loves me. And this is a fallacy that we frequently are subject to. If that wealth makes you heedless of Allah, then it is a punishment. It's a istidraj. It's a delusion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these people, so don't look at them for the zinatul hayat al-dunya, turidu. As if Rasulullah said, this is meant for us. He had no desire for them, desiring them. وَلَا تُتَعَ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ وَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Now the opposite. Those who are remembering Allah morning and evening, He says, and those don't follow those whose hearts we have made heedless of our remembrance. Because they are too busy with their wealth and plots and plans and whatever they are doing, trying to get more for themselves, rightfully, wrongfully, oppressing others and cheating and all of that. The tyrants of the dunya who have all of that. Don't follow them. وَاتَّبَعْ هَوَاهُ. These are the people who do ittiba, they follow their hawa. And hawa is those inner inclinations, the inner desires for things in an imbalanced way, intellectual and others. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not, these people have been, they don't work out of huda, out of guidance, but out of hawa, their own desires and their own personal inclination, intellectual and otherwise. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطَى. And their affairs have exceeded all bounds. So sometimes wealth is what we call istidraj, which is Allah is giving somebody who's doing wrong more and gift after gift after gift to blind them and to increase them in their delusion that, oh, I'm doing great. Because when you're blinded that way, you will never do tawbah. So that's a punishment from Allah. Give them so they will never consider doing tawbah. And after this, we would come to the next ayahs. It's been a while. What do you say? Should we end here? People are looking a little tired. Inshallah, I think it's appropriate to end here, which is the ayah number. Yeah, inshallah. So next time, we will continue from ayah number 29. I mean, I'm willing to continue, but people look a little tired. Right? Everybody's tired?
Friday, you can go ahead.
How many think we should go away, continue? Raise your hands. 3, 4, 5. How many think it's enough? You can raise your hand. Don't be shy. You can raise your hands.
But if
people have a lot of reflection and questions, then we can stop here and do that, because it's going to consume some time too, right?
Yeah, because Majid Bhai always has
lots of questions.
So I think we should allow.
No, I'm not one for that.
So we'll stop here, and inshallah we'll start from 29, and then we'll do the second story next time, which is the two friends, one of whom was given a lot of wealth. The trial of wealth. So inshallah, as we said before, we study this to internalize it, to derive lessons from it, and what we learn, we act on those. It's not just, you know, oh, it was an interesting exercise, or it was, you know, I learned something about their history. It's about how it translates. We've talked about what the characters of a true murid of Allah should be. We've talked about what the character of futuwa are. All of those, we should think about them, reflect, make notes on them, and then put yourself in that, say, where do I fit here? And that's what's required. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to achieve the status that He wants from us, first of a true abd, and then of a special abd with Him, and grant us all closeness to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with the poor, who will be gathered with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions and his family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate our hearts, illuminate our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our families to that which He loves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our hosts and all those who helped in this gathering, because whoever arranges it will get the reward of everybody. And it's Allah's generosity. And just remember that all this hour and 20 minutes that we spent, we were being mentioned on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was hopeful that you would say, please continue, because I want my name to be continued to be mentioned on the arsh. But it didn't happen. We haven't reached that level of Ja'far as-Sadiq radiyallahu anhu. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.